Hi, Sandra. How are you?
Good morning. Just wonderful. Wonderful weekend. Wonderful time.
And you're ready to go. All right,
I am
question.
ready.
All right, I love this. How do you redeem yourself after a bad first impression?
Well, there's a very good article in last week's Wall Street Journal by Sue Schellenbacher, who is their management writer, and it's a lot of stuff that we've seen. Some of the stuff, Jill, believe it or not, we've done ourselves. And this piece, I'm going to add to it, of course, but it contains a lot of practical ideas, what you need to do. And these things really happen during interviews. They really do. So let's start with some of my stuff. So, okay, Jill, you've come to the office. So, of course, Jill, you've read about some of the biggest challenges that we are facing now. What do you think of them? Sir, I have to be honest, I really haven't read about them. I haven't really followed them. Okay. Okay. Well, that's one strike between us. Jill, so tell me, if I were to call your former boss, what would he say your two biggest weaknesses were? I don't know. But what about the strengths? What would he say your two biggest strengths would be? Well, I come in to work on time, that's for sure, and I'm loyal to the company. Okay. Jill, I'm sorry, I have to see the next candidate. Okay, so we'll be back to you. Okay, you've lost the job, right? There's no way after that first impression with jobs that you're going to succeed. It ain't going to happen. So in Sue Schellenbacher's column, she says, you meet someone you want to impress, but wind up starting with a glaring faux pas. The tone-deaf comment to a prospective boss or spilled coffee all over a customer can wreck everything. So she talks about a woman she knows. The woman, Angela Copeland, the moment Angela Copeland showed up for a job interview at a California clothing company years ago, she knew it was over before it began. She had the digital marketing skills the company needed, but the interviewer wore Birkenstocks. And casual clothing of natural fabrics, whatever that is, and she showed up in heels with a beautiful black tailored suit. She says, quote, "I could immediately see the look on their faces, thinking, why is she here?" A career coach in Memphis, Tennessee, she never got a second chance. So, very interesting. Is it possible to recover from a bad first impression? Yeah, but it takes brains, time, effort, and some nuanced skills. First, Heidi Grant, author of No One Understands You and What to Do About It, was interviewed for this article. And she says, first impressions are very sticky. She wrote a book, about the psychological factors that shape people's interactions. These impressions are rooted in biased thought patterns, including the primacy effect, the tendency for the first few things people notice about someone to influence how they interpret information later. Another pattern called confirmation bias causes people to notice only details that confirm what they already believe. People see what they expect to see, and that's very true. So, you go in there, and you may have a chronic case of bad breath. Not going to go over big with the interviewer, or you may have a speech impediment, whatever it is, stammer, lisp, whatever that impediment is. That's not going to go over big, or too short and too fat. Really don't fit in with the new slim millennials. So what does one do in a situation like that? Well, again, as we discussed many times, in those situations, short, overweight, speech impediment, you just have to be smarter and work a little harder than the other applicants. Okay. Spending a lot of time on Facebook with someone can repair a bad start. This is the way to get back into it after the bad impression. If you've made a bad impression on a manager who's about to become your boss, arrange to work out at the gym or hit the company cafeteria at the same time she does, not to stalk her, but to build familiarity with a casual greeting or wave. So that's certainly one way that you want to overcome the bad impression. There's a woman named Melissa Helbart, founder and president of Resumes Strategist in the city, New York. She says, erasing a bad first impression takes patience. You can't just snap your fingers to make it go away. Mrs. Gelbart is in her 40s. This is interesting. was disappointed at a recent networking event when a senior executive in his 60s assumed she was younger and lacked senior executive status, she says. He kept dropping such comments as, that was before your time, so you couldn't relate to it. Huh. So she patiently worked, again, this is a way to overcome it. She patiently worked to undo that impression, mailing him via LinkedIn, where her profile shows her 1996 MBA and her years of experience as an executive career consultant. She later went to a gathering where she knew she would see the executive and others she knew at his level. She wove more evidence of her experience into the conversation. In time, she overcame the executive's first impression and he became a valuable contact. One other way, okay, to overcome a bad impression. Poking fun at your own blunder certainly can ease tensions easily. A little self-deprecating humor can show that you take your mistake seriously, but understand how you made the other person feel. So this is a quote from Kate White, former editor-in-chief of Cosmopolitan magazine, an author and speaker on many, many career issues. And if you've muffed the job interview question about your past, we discussed this before, follow up by sending work samples showing your skill. You want to dazzle them to show the underlying impression you made doesn't matter. That first impression you made about what are your weaknesses and strengths, you know, a tough question, but it's asked all the time. Eric Gates, again, in this article, a job applicant at a previous employer several years ago who made a terrible first impression by confessing, listen to this, that he'd done prison time for dealing meth. Mr. Gates, an Austin, Texas minister and former police officer, joked with the man about having been on the opposite sides in the criminal justice system, then made a conscious decision to move beyond his initial shock and reevaluate the applicant, Mr. Gates said. The man quickly showed he wasn't the criminal he'd been in previous life. By describing his self-improvement efforts and handling, Mr. Gates, a list of people willing to serve as his references. So he did have a lot of good references for himself. He came prepared to answer the tough questions, Mr. Gates says. He decided to take a chance and hire this applicant, and the man became one of his best and most productive employees. So, Jill, have you ever run into a situation like that, making a bad impression?
Sure.
Okay.
But the thing that I find interesting about all of these people is it's very easy to write this advice.
Yeah.
in my experience, only the cooler, if you will, people actually are able to evaluate at that moment if they want to proceed.
Yes, move on. Yes.
Yeah, move forward, or at least get to know someone. Because
yes, I agree.
There's an element of rote, and you know, it's important. It's got to be a two-way street. Like, yes, there are things that are absolute obvious not fit. That absolutely obviously don't fit. For example, person wearing designer clothes, meeting someone in Birkenstocks and
natural.
That's it's not going to. It's not likely to work. But someone who is forthright about their past, for example. If you're dealing with somebody, I hate to just be so simple, but if you're dealing with someone cool, that cooler person might go, oh, yeah, all right, well, let's see. Because, you know, at first glance, this isn't workable, but maybe let's dig a little deeper.
Yes.
And I don't know how you capture in any given moment, or, you know, for the broad spectrum advice giving, that moment.
But the Birkenstock situation, what I don't understand is, why wasn't the company researched ahead of time? Why didn't you go to LinkedIn and see what people wear? But all the clothes, you can find out, right?
That's the point. That usually, somebody once said to me, and I think about it to this day because it was 20 some odd years ago, and she said, I know why you hate tragedy. And I said, oh, do tell. And she said, because in every tragedy, there is an element of stupidity, and you cannot bear stupidity.
Oh, God.
And I thought about that for a second. You know, there's like that one miscommunication, the thing that makes it tragic. So, why didn't you go to LinkedIn? Why didn't you do the first bit of, and I say this with, with all respect, but if you're going into some place, that silly old saying that you have one chance to make a first impression.
Sure.
It absolutely applies.
Right.
Do a modicum of research. Talk to someone who knows the person. There are quite a few very, very basic things that your grandmother would have told you to do that still apply even in this vast technological people's view, superior age.
But here we're talking also, Jill, this article focuses on. So you made a bad first impression. Now what do? You really like the company. You want to get the job. So here are all the other things as we discussed. What do? You know, you get back to the person, a handwritten note, or you send the person examples of what you've done before and say, you know what? I know I didn't do well during the interview. You come out and be candid.
That's
people
exactly right.
Love,
no
one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They love the candid responses to this. So we hope we help some people who have made a bad first impression get back in there with some of these ideas.
Thank you very much, Sandra Flom, Leader's
have
Edge.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.